to your seats. We'll get started with today's message. So if you've been here for the past several weeks, you know we're going through a series of messages on how to live out the gospel, this gospel message that the Bible gives us about Jesus being the Son of God and coming into the world to give his life for us. Forgiveness, he gave us forgiveness of sins. He gave us eternal life, but not only that, he gave us a new life. And in this life, living it out, we seek to become all that God intended us to be from the very start, casting off the old self that still clings to us. Because the truth of the word is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are a new creation, created in him to do good works in this world. And when God looks at us, he sees that new person, that new creation that he intended us to be from the very start. And he sees that despite all the old and sinful nature that still hangs on to us. And so our goal, part of our life in Christ, is to cooperate with God and let go of that old self, to be moldable like clay, letting him to transform us. And in that transformation process and living out this gospel, we engage in a spiritual battle in which the devil tries to stop us from becoming that new person. The devil's schemes in our lives are aimed at having us remain in and embrace that old self as who we really are, rather than the truth that the gospel declares. And so we've been exploring for a few weeks now these tools that God gives us that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 as the armor of God. And what I'd like to do today, something I want to actually get in the habit of a little bit more often, is to have us all open up to Ephesians 6, starting in verse 13, and I'd like to have one of you read this for us today. Which means you're going to have to speak really loud or come up here and use the microphone. Pushing you out of your comfort zone. That's, I like to do that. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. All right, thank you. So today we're going to be talking about that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as I reflect on this whole passage, I think this may be one of the most important tools given to us. Every other piece of the armor that we've talked about so far has its foundation in the Word of God. Truth. The truth that we cling to is the truth revealed to us in the Bible. We talked about the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness that we have because of Christ. We know that because the Word has revealed it to us. Our feet are fitted with the shoes of readiness, the preparation that God gives us as we work our way through this life and face the challenges, clinging to Him. And our readiness is built up more and more as we engage more and more with God's Word and live more fully for it. The shield of faith, our faith is founded in what God has revealed to us through his word, and our helmet of salvation declares the salvation that we have through Christ, again, revealed to us in the word. The word is the foundation for everything we are as a church. God's word is what gives us direction. It tells us what to do. It tells us what not to do. It shapes our thinking. It shapes all of our actions. Now, a question comes up as you talk to people about faith in Christ and living out the gospel of, well, why this book? Why not any other religious text out there? Why not other books that say good things about how to live a good life? And what we have to understand is that the Bible is not like any other book out there. In fact, it declares itself to be much more than just a book. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that the Word of God, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible itself declares to be God-breathed, given to us by God himself. We need to grasp this and understand this if we're truly going to grow in our faith. If we don't understand this, if we're not founded on that truth, then we can easily be led astray. There'll be some other philosopher, some other great speaker out there who will teach us something else. And we'll say, hey, that sounds really good. And we'll let go of this because we're not really clinging to the fact that this is God's word. We lose sight of it. And when we do that, we're left unarmed for the battle for our lives. Now, we can take a lot of time this morning exploring the basis of our trust in the Word, and we don't really have time for that today, so I just want to put out there, if you have any doubts about this book and why we use God's Word as our foundation, come talk to me. I'd love to talk to you more. But we need to understand for today, taking up the sword of the Spirit means understanding that God's Word is His message to us. It's much more than just instructions. It is a love letter from the Lord. It is a testimony of God's interaction with mankind and the way people's lives are lived as they live for Him. It is a source of hope, a source of encouragement. It is a foundation for truth, and it's a source of both inspiration for how I live my lives and conviction for how we ought to change our lives. And the great thing about God's Word is that it doesn't condemn us, but it just convicts us and inspires us to live more fully for God. You should know that people have given their lives, literally, so that you can have access to this Word in a way that you can read and understand it. Not only do people spend their entire careers putting together the Bible, translating it into languages that people can understand, and ensuring that we have an accurate copy of what was originally written, people have literally died because they have tried to make this Word accessible for you. This is one of the most important, no, not one of the most important book in entire human history. So Paul says, take up the Word as a sword, the sword of the Spirit. And let's start with understanding that. This is the sword of the Holy Spirit. It is not our, it is not our sword. We take up this sword as the Spirit holds us, and we holds it and allow Him to control how it is wielded. And we'll get into that a little bit more. There are other scriptures that gives us insight into this sword of the Spirit. I'd like to take a look at that, look at a couple of those this morning. The first is Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. Let's turn over to that. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. And I'll read that one for us this morning. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now look at this, what this passage says. It describes God's Word again as a sword, penetrating even to dividing soul and spirit. Now think about that for a moment. That the soul and the spirit refer to spiritual aspects of our being. You can barely distinguish between them, honestly. To really dig into it and think about it, the soul is a part of us, the spiritual part of our being that God creates in us. Whereas the spirit is something that's given to us, breathed into us, right? That is the part provided to us by God. And the word of God can distinguish and divide between those two pieces of ourselves. It divides joint and marrow, the deepest parts of our physical being. It judges our thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts, distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong. Notice in this passage, it touches on every aspect of our being, our spiritual parts, our physical parts, and our emotional parts. God's Word distinguishes right from wrong in every part of ours. Nothing is untouched by the Word of God. And this passage concludes by saying everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. There is nothing that we hide from God. And God's Word reveals everything, not only to the Lord, but to us. And so God's Word is effective in determining what is truly right and in exposing us to God's truth. Now, I'd like another reader this morning for this next passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. I have a willing volunteer for that. Just six sentences. You gonna try it? 1 through 6. Yeah. Okay. So Paul, again, refers to the weapons we fight with in this world, connecting that with the sword of the Spirit. The sword is a weapon that goes along with our armor. Paul says it has divine power. It is divine power to demolish strongholds. God's word is more than just a book, right? It is the means by which God communicates truth to us, and it demolishes any attempt by Satan to lie to us, to tell us what is not true. All we have to do is hold up God's word to it and says, look, it's written here, and the foundation that we can keep coming back to. This is God's truth. If we understand that this comes from him, we must take up this sword and use it to demolish those strongholds and demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. This is what we've talked about before. This is what Satan does all the time. He lies to us. He deceives us. He accuses us. He causes us to believe with all of our heart and mind things that are opposite of what God's word says. And unless we stop ourselves and say, now, wait a minute, what does God's word really say? And even go back to it or ask for help understanding it, we get led astray. So we have to take up that sword and make good use of it. We need to rely on it. This is the only solid and unchanging, trustworthy foundation that we can rely on in a world that's full of ideas that are all going to make themselves sound appealing. We have to have something unchanging to come back to, something that we know we can rely on. Now, using God's word comes with a warning as well. We have to be careful in how we wield it, or else we can do harm to ourselves and others. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 18 to be careful how we teach. He says, if anyone leads one of these little ones astray and causes them to sin, it would be better that they wear a millstone around their neck and be cast into the deepest ocean. Think about that image, right? What a terrible punishment that is. It says you deserve that, or it'd be better if you had that happen to you than to cause one of my little ones to be led astray. We have to be careful in how we use God's word. Imagine taking up a sword and just swinging it wildly around. What damage you would do. We have to use this word and wield it wisely. And remember what I said earlier, this is the sword of the Spirit. It is not our sword to take up and use to attack, use to cut other things apart, or even cause damage to ourselves. And you think about holding a sharp sword. If you're not careful how you hold it, you can cut yourself, right? There have been many people misled by the word of God. There is a culture out there that is against the church already without even knowing us because of what has been said and done to them by people who declare themselves to be Christians. We just have to be careful. Again, like I said, this is a sword of the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide how you use his word, how you apply it. Not slashing and stabbing, not condemning, but carefully dividing, as the Hebrews describes, and separating truth from falsehood. That's the proper way to use this sword. Let's understand what truth is and what's false, and then decide from there how to proceed. But we need to be careful with the spiritual guidance as well and make sure that's founded in the word. Paul says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ in this passage in 2 Corinthians. That is everything that we hear around us and everything that we think. We have to use God's words against our own thoughts sometimes. Because there are three sources for your thoughts. Did you ever think about that? Three sources for the things that go through your mind. The first one is your own thoughts, right? The things that you come up with on your own, with the creativity that God has given you, with the intellect that God has given you. There is the Spirit that God gives us, the Holy Spirit, and that's the one we want to follow. And then there's the devil himself, who whispers things to us. Well, how do you know, right? If it's just a thought going through your head, how do you know which one you're hearing? I've heard all kinds of people throughout my ministry experiences tell me, God told me this. The Spirit led me to do this. And yet that thing that they're doing doesn't have a foundation in God's word. Or it contradicts what other Christians are saying. Now, does God contradict himself? And so we have to be careful. If we feel being led to do something, we may have a powerful feeling of God is calling me to do things. We need to be careful. You know, and this is where I struggle as a pastor sometimes. When God is calling you to do something, I want to say, yes, do it. Don't hold back, right? Because so often we do feel that temptation to hold back. We have that fear. But before you do that, I want to say, now let's check it. Let's check it against God's word. Let's check it against other followers of Christ and discern this together. Make sure this is something God is calling us to do. It's not just our own ideas. It's not a lie of Satan trying to deceive us. Let's work together here. And that's how we can wield God's word together as a community. We need to be careful to use the whole world, not take it out of context. It's very easy to pick passages and say, well, this is what I'm supposed to do because it says right here in this passage. But there are many ways we can interpret single passages. Not only do we need to consider the context of the whole chapter, the whole book that we're reading, we have to consider the whole context of the Bible. All of the Bible together, taken together, is a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the character, the unchanging character of God. And the way we interpret the Bible needs to fit into that truth that the Bible itself declares. So we need to be careful to not take things out of context. As we interpret and apply God's word, we need to keep setting ourselves aside, saying, God, thy will be done, not my will. And I think that's one of the founding things that we need to hang on to. Thy will, Lord, not my will. That helps us remain humble, helps us be open to being wrong about things. So if we're going to wield the word well, the one thing we must all do is become students of the Bible. I think that's something every Christian should make a part of their lives. We need to read it, or these days, listen to it. If you don't have time to sit down and read something, there are plenty of ways that you can listen to God's word. I even know a few people in our church who turn on God's word and put in their headphones as they're going to sleep every night as a way of just absorbing God's word and letting that lull them to sleep. Study the word. There are lots of ways that you can study, lots of ways we can help you study. And one of the easiest ways that you can get started with study right now in this church is make use of an online resource that we pay for so that you have access to it. Right Now Media is an online resource that you can access as a member of this church for free. It has all kinds of Bible studies available to you at any moment on any device that you have that connects to the internet, right? Get involved in a Bible study group. This is one of the best ways to wield God's word together with other people. Get together with two or three other people. Read the word. That's all you really need for a Bible study is a Bible and a couple people to talk to. And maybe a pastor or some ministry leaders in a church to ask questions of. Right? And that's one thing. Another way to wield the word well. Ask your questions. Don't feel like you have to figure it out all on your own. Don't have that pride that says, hey, I got this. You know, I was just talking to somebody about men. We have this attitude sometimes, oh, I got this. Don't worry. Don't do that with God's word, right? If you have any doubts, any questions, come talk to me. I would love people to ask me more questions about what God's word says. And I know there are other leaders in this church who would love to help you talk through those things as well. Memorize it. One of the greatest ways that you can have God's word with you all the time is memorize pieces of it. There are lots of resources out there, again, to help you memorize key passages. There are lots of ways that you can memorize small pieces and even bigger pieces to keep it with you. Discuss it with others. If you're ever having a conflict with someone, if you're ever in a situation where you're not sure the truth, have your Bible with you. Open it up and try to see what God's word says. The first and foremost thing is have a Bible. And I hope everyone here has one. If you don't have one, come talk to me. And we can make sure you have a Bible of your own. But there really, in America, 21st century America, there's no reason that you should not have access to God's word in many ways. Yeah, We all carry things. We can carry it around in your pocket with you all the time, right? And I would ask you this. Bring it with you to church, right? We have Bibles here for you to use, but I would love for you to have your own with you so that you can write in it, make notes, ask follow-up questions, and write those things to help you remember the most important things you need to know. Remember the questions that you've had answered. Remember those insights that help you understand it more. Bring your Bibles with you. I'd love to see you guys out there marking them up and using your own Bibles. There are all kinds of reading plans for you to follow to help you get through the Bible in a timely manner. And I'm not just talking about devotionals that are somebody else's thoughts and applications to God's Word, but plans to just help you stay on track and read through the Bible. In all these ways and more, we can wield this Word well. And this is the foundation of everything that we do and everything we are. You got to know that this is one of the most important aspects of being a Christian. It all starts from what this book says and what it reveals to us and what it shows us about the life that God wants for us. The way it helps us distinguish which path to take and how to react in every situation of life. Make God's Word the most precious thing that you have in your life. And out of it, as you wield it well, Jesus Christ will be the most precious person in your life. And that's our goal, to live fully for Him, to cherish Him, and to be transformed by Him. So let's close today giving thanks to God for His Word, the Word that He provides, and the Word that He helps us wield in this spiritual battle. And let's commit to Him that we'll be students of His Word. And we'll close with a final act of worship as we sing together. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for Your Word. What a beautiful thing it is that You, the Creator of this world, have spoken to us in languages that we can understand. I pray that You would help us all to become students of Your Word, Lord, to be able to pull it out in every situation and apply it to our lives. Lord, teach us to distinguish and divide truth from falsehood, to do what is right and divide it from what's wrong, Lord, to understand Your will and set our own will aside. In so many ways, Lord, You speak to us, You encourage us, You teach us, You rebuke us, and You call us to a new life in You. I thank You that You see that new life in us, Lord. You see all that we can be. Help us to see it as well as we look into Your Word. And help us shed every part of us that does not fit into that creation that You've called us to be. I thank You for blessing this church, Lord, with so many people who love Your Word. Help us all to love it more, to understand it more, and to fulfill it even more, Lord. May You bless everyone here throughout our week, Lord, especially as we travel and give thanks on Thanksgiving with our families, wherever they may be, Lord. Bring us all back together again to continue worshiping You next week. In Jesus' name, amen.